Hey everyone, before we get started today, I just wanted to let you guys know about Squarespace. I'm just kidding. That's not what I'm here about. You thought it was going to be a commercial, but it's not. It's just me. What I'm here actually to say before the episode starts is the fact that due to an error that was 1000% my fault, unfortunately, the sound quality when my guest is talking for pretty much the entirety of the episode is off a little, not like out of time, but it didn't record for some reason. I mean, I know the reason, but I don't understand the science behind it. You hear me very clearly, and then you do not hear my guests nearly as clearly. And I have spent the last several hours trying to fix it in post-production, as they say. And I think it's still totally listenable, but just wanted you to know ahead of time, it's not you, it's not a problem on your end, and I've done all I could. I think the episode is still fun, and the stuff we talk about is still fun and interesting, and so I didn't want to just completely scrap it. So yeah, so I hope you can deal with it. I don't think it's not like terrible or anything, but it is. I just wanted you to know ahead of time that it does sound a little different, and I apologize for that, and I will never make that mistake again. And now, let's get on with the show. All right. Hello again, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, the podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris. I'm your host, your podcast pal. And with me today is someone you have not heard before, but, you know, this is because I didn't know you that long ago, but now I do. And when I asked this person, who I still have not said who you are, I'll get to it. Don't worry. When I asked this person what their interest level was on a scale of 1 to 10 on Game of Thrones, you said a 9.5. Also, you just mouthed along 9.5, which is very funny. Yeah, you said 9.5, which to me said, all right, so then you are definitely the person I want to talk to about Game of Thrones before the series finale this Sunday. And your name is Kendall Duke. You, you are a noted bear hunter?
Oh, no. aspirational
bear hunter. Oh, okay. Aspirational bear hunter. Shark fear?
Yes.
How would you describe yourself? How would you introduce yourself to people?
Oh, that's an interesting thing to have to do. If I had to just say my name is Kendall Duke and I am a pretty awkward human being, but I accept that I'm an awkward human being.
Right.
And I think that's kind of how I become close with other human beings is I accept that I have a lot of quirks and make fun of them, and that's been nice.
But you don't like when other people are self-deprecating.
No, because I don't like to see other people be self-deprecating.
That's your thing.
Yes, I think. If everyone's self-deprecating, then it's less
unique for you.
I can make. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard you really be self-deprecating, though. You seem generally.
I don't know that I would say self-deprecation so much as I recognize the awkward things that I do, and I just point them out, and then people can't help but either laugh or stare at me awkwardly, and then I'm like, this probably isn't going to go much further.
So, also, oh no,
what?
Is that going this badly already?
No, I get a little bit nervous to be recorded. I feel like I have an odd voice,
mm-hmm.
and so
I agree.
Well, that was.
I'm sorry. See, that's what I do. I make to offset my own awkwardness. And I told you we were going to talk about Game of Thrones, but instead we're just going to talk
about
how awkward,
how
awkward we are. my immediate defense mechanism in awkward situations is always, or in basically in all situations is just, oh, just quick, say, like, try to make a joke out of whatever.
Make a joke out of it, and then everyone in the room is a little bit lighter because of it.
Yeah.
So,
and then you die a little bit on the inside.
Yeah, and when everyone really laughs, and you're like, well, that was kind of...
When someone laughs and points.
And points, then you're just like, man, I know I'm uncoordinated, but I didn't need you to point.
We all saw what happened. Yeah. You didn't have to point. Anyway, so I guess we can get into Game of Thrones now, unless there's anything else you think people need to know about you.
No. Well, I would just like to preface all of this as saying interest level and emotional attachment, 9.5. Like in-depth knowledge, and is not quite a 9.5. I have not read the books, and I feel strongly about prefacing that, because anyone who is a diehard Game of Thrones fan, I feel like, falls into one of two categories, and you either read the books and you like know everything about everything, and you feel very passionately about how HBO has diverted from the books, or either ruined it or made it. I think in the very beginning, they did an amazing job actualizing it. My brother read all books and hence got me into the show.
Right.
And so I'm a diehard Game of Thrones fan from just watching the show.
You're a lover, not an expert.
Yeah, I'm a lover, not an expert. And
right.
So I have passionate feelings, but I haven't read all of the...
But you're not a scholar on the subject,
yes,
which is fine. I mean, not required for... I mean, honestly, that's more what I'm looking for, is people who are... I'm not so much worried about talking to people about things that they're experts on. It's but when people care about things,
yeah,
it's like, that's kind of the whole point of the show, is stuff we love and what that says about us, or like why, what it sparks in us, that's mm-hmm. something, you know, why it's something that we're passionate about or that we think is really neat or whatever. So yeah, that does kind of lead into the question though of like, you said your brother got you into it, but like, is that what has been your journey with Game of Thrones?
Oh man. So I was home from college my freshman year, and wow, I've never really thought about what got me into Game of Thrones, but I came home from college.
You don't get interviewed about Game of Thrones regularly?
Not regularly. I honestly was made fun of watching it by all of my friends in college. So it's interesting.
That's strange to think of, because the show seems so popular.
Well, it's popular. It's so popular now, and I think it's gotten past some of its stereotype, but there was a period of time when people, like especially younger girls that were watching it, like young adult women, would reference it as soft porn. And I was like, that is just wrong.
Yeah.
First of all, like there's a lot of explicit scenes in Game of Thrones, but I would not say that it's at all with the intent of arousing you. Honestly, I was very turned off by the first two or three seasons anytime a sexually explicit scene came on, because most of the time it's very degrading towards women.
Yeah.
And so when my older brother got me into this show, I can remember I came home from college. It was kind of an emotional time. We don't have to dive into that. But I think I was just like needing something to invest in. And at that point, I think 3 seasons had already come out.
Okay.
And he was
so started. You didn't start like when it started.
No,
okay.
Like I did not know about Game of Thrones until probably the 3rd season had just finished. And my brother...
You hadn't even heard of it?
I hadn't even heard of it.
Oh, wow.
No,
okay.
It really took off around that time, though.
And okay.
When I started watching it, I can remember hearing other guys talking about it and being like, oh, like, this is the thing that people are into. Cool.
Right.
My brother's not just like the weirdest person ever. but I remember he was just like, it's really great. Like, just he made me promise. He was like, don't give up on it. Watch the entire 1st season and then tell me what you think. And he made me promise. He was like, Kendall, just watch it. Don't give up on it. Don't think it's too gory. Like, close your eyes for some of the scenes that you want to close your eyes for, but really just watch it and tell me what you think. Because he had read all of the books at that point that were out.
Right.
And he's both a book nerd and a movie TV nerd. And I was just looking for something, I think, to kind of escape into. And at first I was like, this is terrible. Why is my older brother telling me to watch a show where a woman's getting sold to a Dothraki like leader, and uh-huh. she's now being raped by him. But
seems like a weird brother choice.
Seems like a very odd big brother choice, but... Like
I would not tell my little sister to, I would probably would not go, hey, are you watching Game of Thrones?
Yeah, no. But I will say he was right in that I was skeptical for most of the entire season. And then the season, actually not even the season finale, but episode 9, they're big on their nines. Mm-hmm. That's what I've realized. Like season finales are important, but it's really the episode leading into the season finale that they really want.
Yeah.
Like sink you with, and when they decapitated Ned Stark, I was like, okay, I have to watch this now. I am completely invested and hooked. And I think it was the fact that it was not predictable for me at all. I didn't read the books.
Yeah.
I didn't do any sort of research. I just binge watched season 1 in a week. And by the end of that week, I was like, oh my gosh, like how did they do this? He was the good guy. Right. He was the like standard for nobility and honor and just a good man.
Yep.
And then for him to get decapitated, you're just like, how does this show go on losing that core,
yeah.
That core character? I was shocked.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say that everyone was pretty shocked.
Yeah, and now you think, oh, well, that's just...
That's Game of Thrones.
That's so Game of Thrones and such a... Not common, but cop-out of an answer to be like, what hooked you in Game of Thrones? But it's not really. I think compared to other TV shows, that's what sets it apart, is it's not afraid to get you very invested in a character and have you see all these amazing aspects of one character and see all these tragic and terrible aspects of another character, and you're going to lose the good guy.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to come back and watch the bad guy.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah. Keep getting to survive. Yeah. And I think there was a stretch in there where it's like all people were watching for was just waiting to see. Oh, spoilers, guys. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones, Ned gets killed at the beginning of the first season. I assume if you're listening to this, you watch Game of Thrones. And if not, I will say, I should have said this at the beginning. The show is always family friendly, because we talk about a lot of stuff that kids are into sometimes. Or we used to anyway, but, this show is definitely not, this is a grown-up show. Don't watch this if you're, not supposed to. If you think you might get in trouble for watching this, then don't watch it. And if you're, like you said, if you're, there is a lot of violence and all of the TVMA stuff is, I think, fairly represented. So, if you're squeamish or, don't like, any of this stuff that we've described, goriness or sex scenes or nudity, odd nudity, and just all kinds of general strong viewing content. I don't know a better way to say that. Don't watch it. But if you watch it, then it's fine. And there's probably going to be a bunch of spoilers. But it's like, I feel like there was a period in there where everybody was just watching to waiting for Joffrey to die.
Yes.
Like to get, well, not to die, but to be killed.
Yes.
To get his comeuppance. Yeah. And then of course it's like, that's another thing they do is like, you're like, oh, everybody gets killed. So many people get killed. So many innocent, good people get killed in this show. Please let it be satisfying that we get to someone stab this dude.
Yes.
And then the way he dies is like in that moment, like I remember even though all I was watching for was like, I just want him. I want somebody to get him. And then I was like, oh, it's like, he's just a little kid. I mean, he's an awful monster of a little kid, but then it's like, it's a little bit sad. And I was like, oh, you've robbed this from me. You've taken this catharsis of like, oh, at least he got his.
Yeah.
And you see him looking so scared and it's like, I'm like, what do you want me to do with this feeling now? Like, why are you doing this? And we talked about this a little bit after the last episode. The idea that it's like, you've got these people that are like the Lannisters, basically, you know, where they're just these like unrepentant, horrible people. And you're just like, oh, I hate them. I hate them. And, you know, or they're like, oh, they're so awful. Or it's like, or they go, they're either so awful and you're like, I want them to get what's coming to them. And then right before they get what's coming to them, they try to like really give them some pathos or some kind of something. Yeah, something to make you empathize with them or feel like a little bit like a twinge of badness for them. And it's like, why did you do that? Why did you, what do you want me to feel, people running Game of Thrones? Like, do you want me to hate them or do you want everything to just be unsatisfying? I don't know. You know what I mean? Now if you could just summarize everything up to the last episode we saw, and oh, no, I'm just kidding.
It's like, really, we're gonna be here for a while.
We definitely, I don't think we have enough time for you to do that. But so beyond that, like, did you feel like you kept your interest stayed up with it, like with each passing
season,
or was there anything? Because I've watched all of it except for. I feel like I didn't really pay much attention to the last season.
Season 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, once I caught up, I was all in.
Also, the difference for me here is that I was watching, like, I watched the first season as it was happening.
Yeah.
And it was like, after that end of that first season, there was like this huge, or it felt like a huge gap before the next one started. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I think that's part of why I was watching it all, like, as it was happening. Mm-hmm. So once you got to like season 6 and 7, I started going like, this is just going forever. And it's like, it feels like they don't really know where they're going, like going with. Early on, it felt very much like they knew what they were doing.
Yes.
And then it got some parts where I was just like, okay, now what? What's going to happen now?
Yeah. Well, so I would say, I guess starting late maybe helped me just stick, or I just get very invested in things and can't. Even if I'm disappointed with an episode or a season, it doesn't change how excited I am for the next one.
Right.
Because even considering the history of it, you just have this, I have this opinion or this feeling that it's all going to come back, you know? Like, I would say the last two seasons have varied less, varied into this zone of less character development and less, like, I'm less maybe emotionally attached to what's, like, happening with each character, but they're doing more things.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more fantasy is what it feels like.
Okay.
Because now we've got more battles and we've got greater time lapses and we're not just following them through the road to King's Landing for a whole entire season. Now it's like, you're going to flash from Winterfell to King's Landing.
And you like that better?
No, I don't like that better, but I just am so invested that it's, even though they've kind of fallen off on a character development, and even though that's how they've fallen off, I am still just like, maybe I'm going to get that little bit of satisfaction at the end. Maybe this was all a ploy. Maybe they consciously stepped back from character development to just like hit us with something that we can't even see coming. And not like Mad Queen didn't see coming, like, just like emotionally didn't see coming.
Right.
So I just am very invested. I'm not going to give up. I have not lost my enthusiasm.
Well, at this point, I mean, why give up?
Why give up?
Yeah.
I'm going to be at Rec Room watching the last season. I'm going to bring like 20 people. We're going to have fun. And I'm going to cry when it's all over. Because it was like for the entire time I was in college, post-freshman year, it was a very like,
it was part of your
very important thing for me to be invested in and to watch, and just, it was different. But I think going back to what you say about the Lannisters and the writing of the show, their ability to make you love and hate someone all at the same time is fascinating. And I've talked to someone who I know who wants to pursue writing as a career, and they think George R. R. Martin has just done the most amazing job creating this complex emotion within the reader, and now HBO has done a decent job conveying that to the viewer.
Do you want me to cut that out?
I really hope you cut that out, please. They've done a decent job in turning that into a mixture of emotions as viewers. Because I think we're all very used to watching things with superheroes or the good guys and the bad guys, and expecting that There may be a little fall for the good guy. Like,
right.
He may go through a slight hiccup, but at the end,
the low point,
he will still rise victorious. And
yeah.
For them to get you to fall in love with the good guy, and then see that the good guy can be decapitated or killed, or, you know, just any sort of crazy thing, or the good guy, or the bad guy can become a good guy. A guy can push a child out a window, and then you feel bad when he gets his hand cut off. You know, like,
yeah,
all of these things are crazy and gory. And if you think about just me saying those blanket statements, you're like, what kind of show is this? But when you watch it,
and what kind of person are you that is like,
am I a gory kind of masochistic person? I don't know. But you just,
are you hoping the show will help you figure that out? Or do you think it has helped you figure that out?
That I'm a gory. I don't, and that's the thing. I don't think I'm a gory person.
I don't either.
I hope I don't give that
up. You're a competitive person, but you're not a.
And maybe that's why I'm into it. It's ultimately a game.
It's a throne game, clearly.
Yeah.
What would you say then? Also, I want to point out this is the first time we, in the recording of the show, that I've had tea to drink while. So thank you for that. I completely lost it. Cut all this out. The also whenever, since you haven't, but yeah, this will now be cut out. But usually anytime I say cut that out is then, of course, it's not going to get cut out.
I really hope that part. No.
It will definitely be in there. Oh. What do you think do you think you have learned anything about yourself through watching this? Like, why this and not like The Wire or, you know, or like Breaking Bad or.
I think that I don't know that I would have consciously been like, this is what I've learned. But after being asked a question, I can self-reflect and say, I think I really like the fact that the show surrounds this time period where like men are of their word and honor is such a prevalent idea at the time. Like, the people are good in this show because they keep their word, they're men of honor, because they're going to do things because of their duty, not because something that they want to do. But it also is so embedded with more modern time ideas of, I'm going to just do what I want to do and love who I want to love. And in ways that you're just like, well, that's disgusting. She's your sister. But if you're thinking about more applicable modern times, like, there are people out there who really do struggle with, like, I do need to just learn that I'm going to love who I want to love and not care what other people think about it. And
right.
Not that I'm saying I want to be like Jamie and Cersei Lannister, but as a young gay woman, I think learning that, like, there are, and also a Christian, there are things you do in life that you feel like you need to keep your word on, and you have a sense of honor and morals, and that those things guide you, but there are also things that are going to come your way in life that you just feel strongly about.
Yeah.
You know, that there are people who you're going to just like fall in love with, and or there are situations that are going to arise that you've never expected. People, dragons could not. I don't actually believe dragons are going to pop out of the eggs that we throw in fires, but maybe someone out there has done that. Just. Eggs,
yeah, I'm certain that someone has been
Game of Thrones parties.
Yes, that are throwing eggs. See what happens. Now you got to get like fossilized. You got to try to find eggs that are
old.
Yeah, I mean, well, you never know.
Oh my goodness,
it's pretty small, but whatever. Maybe it'll be a tiny dragon.
So I think that the combinations of those things in the show, which I'm sure lots of shows have that embedded in them, but I also have always been more interested in medieval time things.
Oh, yeah?
Like swords and knights, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you, like little girls grow up thinking I want to be a princess, and I, this is why Arya is for sure hands down my favorite character, because I never was like, oh, I want to be the princess. I was like, I want to be that beast dude from Beauty and the Beast. Like, he's cool. Just like big, and then when he finally is not a beast anymore, you're like, and he's pretty handsome, you know? Like, girls think he's cute.
You're like, and I like that idea.
I like that aspect. You can be like a kind of gross monster, but inside, they think you're cute.
People can like you for who you are.
Yeah, and so even like that, I guess things like that, like Beauty and the Beast from a young age, and Game of Thrones, where monsters can win.
Yeah.
Has always been something that I...
Two very different types of monsters.
Two very different types of monsters. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the beast starts out as a very...
Yeah, he's kind of a...
He's a sad guy.
Yeah, he's a sad boy.
Yeah, but if you think about it, I mean...
He's also someone that had to learn a lesson.
Yeah,
and I think that... Well, also, I do think that people, as much as people, like, as much as people sort of want to root for people's downfall...
Mm-hmm.
I think that people do also really enjoy, and I mean, especially, I think this comes to mind, like thinking about Jamie, who also does kind of look like the prince when he is not the beast anymore. He's someone where you're like, people do also really like a redemption story and like finding a way to go from, like you said, I mean, to go from someone who literally are like, these people are the worst. He's having sex with his sister and then pushes a little boy out of a window. It's like, how could we dislike him anymore? And then you get to just a little bit later and you're like, come on, man. Like, I don't want this. I want him to make it through this. And even though he makes good decisions and then he makes bad decisions and then ultimately makes, I would think, bad decisions. Some of this stuff with this last season has been It's like, boy, it really seems like you wasted a lot of our time by doing some of this stuff. Well, we can get into that later. But I do think that that's like a thing that people ultimately do. You do want to root for someone, like a redemption thing. But it's also, I think, because everyone's kind of hoping, everyone's three-dimensional generally. And it's like everybody has done things that they wish they hadn't, or in like retrospect, they are like, whoa, that was out of line. And they want to hope that they're like, but maybe I can make it up. Even though that was like a really bad thing I did, maybe I can come back from that. And people want to hope that, oh, you can be this bad and still like you hate him so much, but then you're like, oh, but if I can like him, then maybe people can like me, even though I've done this or that, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe this is just,
no, I think that the relatability of it all, where
it's
odd to think it is extremely relatable, because
it's in such a weird world.
If you read it and it's written down and you don't get the emotion of it, it's not relatable. There are dragons and knights and thrones and weird magic at some points. But at the end of the day, the human, they're so human.
Yeah.
You know, you see that they can make such terrible mistakes, but there is no real Ned Stark, you know, or there are people that try to be Ned Stark, but they're going to have their downfalls and their low moments where they maybe don't choose the honorable path or the dutiful path. You know, he makes decisions based off of honor and duty, and he loves his family, but then you can see there are moments when you're like, dude, like if you're a human, you don't go to King's Landing, like, or you get out of there fast. You don't go to pursue this honorable, like, I need to know.
I gotta know. Yeah.
You don't need the truth. Go back to Winterfell and live, you know?
Yeah.
You go back and rewatch it after knowing the ending. You're just like, dude, in this moment when you can get out, why don't you
just go?
You love your family and your daughters are here.
Well, and look at what, well, and that's kind of the thing too. I think there are a lot of those things where it's like even good people on these shows. Uh-oh. Well, that's the podcast is over alarm. That sounds like the tornado siren.
It does sound like a tornado siren, which is strange because it doesn't seem...
Yeah, the weather seems nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's Wednesday. Maybe. They test the tornado sirens every Wednesday.
How did you know that? I've never heard this sound before.
Maybe you just have not been paying attention. Maybe it hasn't been this quiet here at this time of day on a Wednesday before.
Wow.
Or maybe not. Maybe just... I don't know.
I have no. Maybe I've just never been paying attention. Maybe I've never been so conscious of sounds before.
Well, and I don't even know. I don't know if they'll be able to hear that, but cut all this out. I do not know what we were talking about.
We were talking about.
I think we were talking about tornado sirens.
No, well, okay. If we're going that route. The humanity aspect. Of
Guys. Yeah. Well, and it's like it seems like. Even though you're rooting for some of these people, because you're like with Ned, it's like you're rooting for him because, you know, he seems like the only honorable person, and he's got this family that he clearly loves so much, and he's trying to do all this stuff. He's got honor and like respect for all these things that it's like, even when he's like, I don't want to do this, but it's my duty and blah, blah, blah. And you go like, you're putting him in, he's in a situation where you're going, well, yes, I respect you and like you because you are honorable and you do this, but I also want you to run away from those things. I want you to not be honorable so you can live and take care of your family. And it's like, okay, so what does that say about us for wanting him to do that? Or it's like, we're wanting him to not do the thing that we respect him for because we know what's going to happen.
Yes. But even more so than because you know what's going to happen. It's also just, that's more relatable. That's why some of the worst people end up being relatable, because you see that complexity of what they go through. And with Ned, it never even seems like a question. You know, you don't ever see him really seem to struggle with any sort of what the next step for him is. It's all already been decided. It's all already been written for him because he's going to do. His moral is so driven by duty and honor and then family, and he's going to follow that.
He's going to follow that sort of code in that order.
Yes.
Even though it would probably be better, been better for his family if he had
picked family first.
Yeah. Well, and that makes you go like, okay, so then how, what, I mean, I guess that's kind of like what's, maybe that is like a thing that really like appeal, makes people keep thinking about this show, is the, that there is, I mean, and real people are complex. It's, it's not fun.
It's not as simple.
Oh, okay.
As most.
It's like, yeah, real life's not that fun. The show's pretty fun, but the show's also like really horrible. And well, and just, there's so many over and over again, things happen to people where you're like, oh, I wish that would not happen to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you've got 8 seasons worth of terrible things happening to people. And people, like, and constantly people like going up and down for like what you think of them. And I don't know how, I don't know. Do you feel like you have a lot of people? I don't know if you guys could hear that either, but also there's a cat trapped in another room. Not trapped. I mean, put in another room.
Safely placed.
Yes.
In another room.
In a place where she should be fine.
And cannot mess with the microphone.
Yeah. Do you feel like you go through that same kind of thing with people in real life where it's like, it's that much of a roller coaster of like what you, your dealings with them or like sort of your opinion on them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this may be just me, and maybe there are people out there that are like, no, like I've had the same exact feelings about this person the entire time I've known this person. But like everyone grows and changes and you go through different experiences. And I can't think of one human who I've just been like even keel, steady Eddie. My feelings toward this human have always been the exact same because they always do exactly what I expect them to do. People surprise you all the time. And I think if you do have that feeling about someone where you're just like, I know exactly what's going to happen and they've never surprised me or even they've never let me down, I would question the depth to which you know that person. Because humans are always going to falter and stumble or do something you didn't expect or hurt your feelings. Even your best friends are going to hurt your feelings sometimes because we're all humans. We all have so many feelings. It's impossible to keep someone happy in the 100% of the time that you're with them.
Right.
And if you can, I would question, are you just fulfilling the right steps of what you think that human interaction should be? Or are you living in that moment and riding the wave of what's actually happening? Are you in your moment or do you just constantly plan what's next in that interaction with that human and kind of prepare for the reciprocal, what they're going to do back?
You know? Right.
Because I can't, my parents, there have been rocky moments with them and they're wonderful humans, amazing parents, but ups and downs, you know, my brother, same. I can't think of one human family or friend that I haven't had like an up and a down with just because human emotions are complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it's like sometimes, I mean, and also very often emotions are not rational. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even when you're like, there's no reason for this, it's still like, well, it's how I feel. Sorry. I don't know. This is how it made me feel. Or this is like what I was thinking then. And like, even though now it doesn't make sense or it doesn't make sense to you, it makes sense to me. So, and this is exactly what I was talking about though, because this is like a conversation I did not foresee the conversation getting into this kind of thing. Which is why I like talking about things that people like, because then you see what it brings out of them and what it says about them, which is especially now, like with you, now I know to be fearful of you and of your possible murderous tendencies, even though you seem very nice now.
Yeah.
Never know. People can surprise you.
People can surprise.
You could be put in the right situation and then go like, well, I got to cut your head off. Sorry.
Yeah, I've only had to do that.
Also, now I'm like questioning, like, you're really pushing this tea, and then like, oh, I'm gonna be poisoned soon.
Yeah, that's a woman's weapon.
Is tea?
No, poison.
Oh well. and also it kind of sucks because I feel like we could just keep doing this for forever, but I know that we do both have to be somewhere. Oh, and here's my ride.
Oh man. See, now I'm fearful of you.
Uh-oh.
Probably isn't the first time sirens have come for you.
Oh, what? What a face. No sirens have ever come for me. Thank you very much. That's just a good, anytime you hear like sirens, that's like a good old-timey joke.
He's trying to keep the family-friendly vibe.
Gotta go. This is over. Shut down, cancel podcast.
My thing got pushed back a little bit more.
Oh.
So I have a little bit of time.
Okay.
I switched with someone. So.
Cool. All right. So what time have you got until now?
9 to 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
I know you.
Yeah. But also, okay.
I'll be your ally.
You're like, oh, I'll pull some strings. I know a guy.
There were sirens, tornado.
There was a tornado. There was police. Sirens, it was crazy.
An angry animal. It's not you guys. He just needed to be there.
I love jokes like that where it's just like, it's silly, but.
Kind of can't stop getting laughs for it.
Yeah, I can't. And I can't not. But yeah, so, well, we could, I mean, we really could, we could talk about a bunch of, and honestly, after the season or the series finale, I would like to talk about this again after you, but what do you feel about this season? Because feelings are clearly very, very mixed and very extreme to one way, one direction or the other.
Yes.
I think I can definitely see why this season to me has seemed like it's got a lot of stuff that people like, yes, finally this, you know, fill in the blank.
Yes.
But also a lot of stuff where people are going, what? Like,
yeah.
Why did you do this? Why? And I'm like, I feel like I'm asking you questions and then not letting you answer them.
You're fine.
But it's like, it has definitely felt like very, why are there so few episodes?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, other seasons have had more,
mm-hmm.
and this seems like it's all been building to all of this stuff. So why are you, it feels rushed
yes.
to me.
Yes.
Has that been your, what? So yes, I'm sorry. Now I'll let you, how are you feeling about this season?
Sure. I think you have lots of feelings that you need.
I do, but I'm, but you know, people hear from me all the time. So I want to, and you are way more into it than I am. And I am more curious to know sort of like what your take on it is.
Yeah. Well, I have the main thing I can say is I have a mix of emotions. You know, I'm sad. I'm very sad that it's gone the way it has gone. But I'm also like, there are certain things that I'm like, oh, like I was satisfied by that. Like,
what's something you were really satisfied by in the season?
I think this is going to be a polarizing thing because I have read enough fan theories and to know that people are either very upset about this or they're like, yes, like it makes so much sense. But Arya killing the Night King, to me, was just so satisfying. I think, and it was pretty true to HBO and its like fashion of like, we're going to have you think, you know, this is the way to go. He's had all these interactions with Jon Snow, everyone and their mother wanted it to be Jon Snow. And
them getting to have this big fight.
Because we've never seen the Night King really do more than lift his arm and throw something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we haven't seen him do more than lift his arm and throw something.
Right.
Why were we so committed to Jon Snow and him getting this, like, have this epic battle when really he's this mythical or just supernatural creature that we don't know anything about? Like, what? Why did we think that some human who's been chosen maybe could just go hand to hand combat with him? You know, I think that was very satisfying. I think Arya going up to Essos and leaving Westeros to go train to kill people off her list was awesome.
Yeah.
Was a very logical route to plot. Like, her destiny is to go across people off her list. But wait, that's what you think. You know, you think that she's been doing all this training to be prepared to get her vengeance, you know, because she watched so many traumatic things at such a young age. Like, she just, her route wasn't, I'm going to let these things just keep happening. It was, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to not ever be a weak little girl who watches someone I love die and
right.
have nothing to do about it.
Yeah.
And so, to watch her with that mindset of she's training to be this, I don't usually cuss, but she's training to be this badass warrior, to just go kill people you expect her to kill. No, like, She was training to be even more important than she thought she would
yeah.
be, you know? And so it's controversial. People can be like, well, you just like Arya, and that's why you're satisfied by it. Yes, maybe that's true too. But I think people are like, why did she just come out of nowhere? Like, it's in the middle of the Godswood. Like, how did she just fly? It's like, she was training to be as quiet as a cat,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, from season one. Literally had to catch all of the...
I've not seen anyone be upset. This is kind of surprising to me because I've not seen anyone be upset. Yeah, I feel like it was just everyone going like, this is super cool that Arya did this.
Super cool. And I think...
And the way she... Of course, the way they had her do it is like super great.
You didn't know for sure she was going to get it. And then the sword, the knife drop, just like mic drop, knife drop. I don't know why there's not a meme out there yet, but she, you know, like she crushed it. And I thought that was not only true to HBO, but I don't know if that's actually how it's going to go in the books. I don't know, but I thought that they did a great job preparing you for that for a long time without you even...
Without you realize,
realizing it. Because, and even setting you up for a different outcome. I think that's something that's so great about the show is they set you up to expect things and even draw it out over the course of seasons sometimes. And you're just like, this is the way it's... And then it doesn't happen that way and you're like upset about it. But also like, oh, that was kind of beautiful the way it did still come full circle somehow. And
well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, like, that part was satisfying.
Yes.
Well, I mean, were you upset that she didn't get to kill Cersei?
Yes. Well, okay. So that's, yes, of All course. Right. I'm like, that's so sad that we just took her out with a building falling on her after all the things she's done to people and people have witnessed her do. Just seemed
anticlimactic.
So anticlimactic, so unsatisfying. I think that, like, that, I mean, I don't know if you know about the theories of, so she in one of the first flashbacks, I think it may be actually the first flashback of the whole entire show, they do a flashback of Cersei as a child, and she meets a witch, and the witch says, I can't verbatim remember, I'm sorry.
But, you can paraphrase,
but
it's okay.
Paraphrasing, she says, like, you'll have three beautiful blonde babies, and they're all going to die, you'll be a queen, but a younger queen, more beautiful than you, will usurp you, and then, and that's in the show, that's all she says. And then in the books, there's a third prophecy told to her, and it's basically, you'll be strangled by, Valonqar. I could be saying that word wrong because I've not actually read the books, but I've read and heard enough theory. And that's basically a Valyrian word for little brother. And so in the books, there's like a prophecy out there that these are all kinds of spoilers. Sorry, I don't know if you're trying to read the books. I don't know what.
Well, not really. I mean, well, yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, like, so there's a lot of things that they have stayed true with because all of her children did die, and she does cut, like, several younger, more beautiful queens do come to usurp her. And so this last theory that's in the books, but it's not in the show, it's kind of like, did they leave it out to be even more mysterious, or did they really not want to follow through with it? And then she doesn't really die being strangled by her little brother. And you're like, well, Jaime's technically her little brother. They're twins and he's younger. And then you have Tyrion. So you're just like, which one's going to do it? You really kind of want to be Tyrion. But you're like, I can't wait to see what kind of weird turn this is going to take. And Jaime's going to kill her. I really thought the prophecy was going to come true and Jaime was going to kill Cersei. I know it doesn't make as much sense, but I really thought he was going to have gone down this moral path of kind of discovering what he wants in life, and he falls for Brienne, and you have that complicated. And I think people are upset about the way things went with that, because I don't know that should have been acted on. I think maybe verbalized and somehow expressed that mutual love.
Yeah.
And I think they have done that slightly in past episodes. But for them to just go for it, and I was just like, that's not really, that was not satisfying. That was like, I feel like we just kind of threw a cheap shot there. Like they survived and they had sex, I guess. I don't know. Like, I was not satisfied by that. And then he leaves her for Cersei. I thought that there's going to be more of him that would kind of reflect on the journey he'd gone down. And he just kind of says, Cersei's a hateful woman and I'm hateful too. And I'm like, that's a cop out. You've learned too much about yourself for that to be the way you go out in this series. But apparently not.
I think that, everybody was kind of expecting something different, like something, and it's not like something is bad if it doesn't meet our expectations necessarily. And it's also not necessarily good when something subverts our expectations. Mm-hmm. But I think that it really did feel like they were working against themselves.
Yes, or less than what could have.
Yeah, like
there was potential for so many different things to happen in that episode
And I know that people aren't always logical.
Yeah.
It's realistic, yes, but it's like also this isn't real life.
Yeah.
And you've made us spend all this time seeing that someone could be, you know, could maybe like learn and grow and not just be what people expect of them. And it would have been, I mean, like my thinking was always kind of that, like, you know, with him having to live with that burden of being the Kingslayer. And at first it's like a point of pride, you know, and then but then over time we see that it's like, it's weighed on him and it was, you know, that he, you know, all of the complicated feelings he has about it and what people think about him. And then I thought it was maybe going to be that thing of like where he's accepted, like, oh, I can stop this. I can get to her and keep this thing from this awful thing from happening. And like, that's what the sort of, I mean, maybe that's too much what our expectations would be. Yeah. And maybe that's why they didn't want to do it, but it's also like, don't subvert our expectations just to subvert our expectations.
Yeah.
Like when you've spent so much time doing the work of showing like this person is learning and growing and.
Yeah. Don't show complexities and multifacetedness and then just give us like kind of a blah. You
know? Yeah. And just go, all right, never mind. Whatever.
Yeah,
no, he's just, we got to get rid of him.
Do it and it's not going to mean very much at all, but we're going to do it because it's, I don't know, it's not expected. Yeah. I feel that way a lot about this season, about the ways they've decided to keep characters around. And we lose a lot of, not to say that the characters are C-list characters that get lost in the Battle of Winterfell, but you lose a lot of characters in that battle that you're just like, I guess I could have seen all of that coming, but we're going to keep around everyone else. That felt like, okay, like we're placating to an audience now. We don't want to lose these people yet because you've invested so much time in them. You don't just want to see them be gone in a battle,
yeah.
But then we're going to lose them in a battle. It's
yeah.
Two episodes later.
Yeah.
And it's just, and.
Well, I mean, and I guess that is kind of that thing of like, well, that's how life is sometimes. Sometimes people just go and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, I was watching that.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. And I think they've not done justice to certain characters like Tyrion. I think they built him up to be this really awesome, complex character of struggling with completely giving in to all of his innate desires when you first meet him. Like, he does whatever he wants to do, and he's not going to be ashamed of it. And then he grows, and we see him fall in love, and the complexities of who he falls in love with are added into it, which is like he understands his place and his title, and that he can't just fall in love with whoever he wants to fall in love. And then to have it all slapped back in his face, like, oh, you just were an idiot round two. Like, you thought you were in love, but money is never going to buy you love.
Yeah.
And that's so sad. And so to watch his journey and see him grow into this very confident mind. Also, I apologize if you hear the mind. It's not intentional.
It's okay. I think it's very intentional from the cat.
Yes, but I don't intend for everyone to hear the, yes. All right, cut that out. But then he just, like, this past season, there's been no part of Tyrion that has gotten to really show. You know, you see him, and even at the end of season 7, like, you just see him continue to get bested, and Tyrion can be bested. I'm not saying he's the smartest person in the show.
But you want his, you want his whole thing about, his whole thing has been about that he's clever. And you've seen people, you've seen him do that and not do the right thing with it.
Yes.
Or you've seen him, you know, there's been all these different things and you're like, I want his cleverness, that he's trying to use this for something better than himself.
Yeah.
You're like, I want it to pay off for him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, of course, again, you want to applaud the people that are in charge of this thing for trying to make the characters real, even though they're in like a fantastic setting, but they still react like real people and they do things that real people would do. But it's also like, this isn't real life. This is fantasy, and it's escapism. And it's like, you know that you've got, it's one thing if you're making a show that nobody watches and you go like, oh, let's try this, let's do that, whatever. But it's like when you've got something, and I'm not saying you have to make everybody happy. I mean, art is very subjective, and what makes one person happy may not make someone else happy. But the idea that you've done all this work, and then to just like, it feels very cheap to go like, or like you've wasted our time by going like, well, then why did you spend all this time doing this, that, or whatever?
Building up investments just to let us.
I cannot get over how dumb Jon Snow is. After so many seasons have been like, you know, nothing, you know, Jon Snow, like.
But even that's that kind of not even surprising at this point. You know, that's kind of consistent, you know, throughout.
But you want to, but I'm saying it's like, you want to see him go like, okay, I've learned from my mistakes over and over and over. I keep doing these things. And you go, oh, he's a person of principle. It's like to him, it's like, but at what point do you just start going like, okay, you're so dumb. You don't. Like, you're too dumb to have a good time.
Yeah.
If I can, you're too stupid to have a good time. If I can quote Roadhouse. Have you seen Roadhouse? Okay. Do you know how we feel about it, though?
No.
Have we talked about that? No. We haven't talked about it? All right. Well, get ready. That'll be another podcast after make you watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like.
That was kind of what the awe was. I don't.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, oh, Roadhouse. I hate that movie.
Do we hate that movie?
No, we love that movie.
So it was an unpopular opinion for me.
Yes. Well, you don't know. You haven't seen it. So it's it's like the perfect, 1980s movie.
Oh.
And we do, it's like one of those things. Okay. So, you know, like with Elvira and like several of the songs, it's very much one of those like things that if things are going badly, or English major, if things are going badly, or if we're, you know, it's like, oh, stuff is just rough up here. It's one of those things that we can put on and then be like, oh, it's going to be all right. Here's Patrick Swayze. It's going to be okay. He is. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
I really don't know.
This is so exciting. put this on the list.
All right.
This will be on the separate Roadhouse podcast.
Okay.
well, okay. So what's the thing you feel like you've been most disappointed by this season? Or is there any one thing? Is it sort of like an overall?
I mean, there are a lot of disappointments and a lot of small victories, but more disappointments. I would agree. It feels rushed. You spend so much time following characters through what you don't even know why you're following them in places. You know, you watch Arya travel for, like, at least an entire season, she's traveling back from King's Landing towards the North End.
And
this season, we can go like she and the Hound are walking away from the North in the snow, and literally, the next thing you know, they're in the middle of King's Landing, and you're just like, so what did they talk about during all that time?
Yeah,
like,
we know
they developed such a.
They're not going to just sit.
They're not just going to sit
ride quietly.
Like, did they rob some people along the way?
Why did he?
Arya have to tell him like, we're not doing this time, and I'm going to kill you if you do.
Like, yeah. Why did they ride all the way there for them to get right to the like? That's like getting right to the front door and then going, hey, you know what? You shouldn't be here.
Like, now we're going to have a conversation about vengeance, and I'm going to be like, now that we're here, young girl, like, don't be like me.
Yeah.
Just like, I get the dramatic effect of it all, but it was also just like, what was the point? Other than I watched all the behind the scenes and all of the afterwards, and the directors were like, we really wanted to give it from the ground. So you see Daenerys's close up of like, she's there and like, she's on the precipice of making a decision. Like, the city has surrendered and I accept this, and you see that's the last close-up of her, and then you never see her again throughout the entire rampage.
You only see
things from the bottom,
the chaos and the destruction,
and from people on the ground, because they're like, they make a comment, and I think their comment is great, and the episode is a great tribute to what they were trying to do, but it's just like, why are you trying to do that in the middle of this series that you've put so much more investment in other things? Like, why are we trying to make a point about destruction happening in fantasy films and action films, how destruction occurs all the time? We never see it from the perspective of the millions of people that destruction affects.
Yeah.
You know, we can see superheroes smashing entire skyscrapers, but we're not even thinking about the fact that there were like thousands of people in that skyscraper that just fell, you know?
Clearly you don't hang out on enough of the places, the areas of the internet that talk about superhero movies, because that's a huge point of contention with some of these movies.
Yeah. Well, and so then that's
amongst like people who care about that stuff.
And so I think that they made a great point, and they took something that clearly people have notated and in other films, And they're like, we're going to be different in our final battle scene. And we don't even know if it's the final battle scene at this point. But in like, I know the two directors, or they chose a certain director for episodes 3 and episode 5. And it's their war guy. He does battle scenes.
Yeah.
And so he is not the final director of the final episode. So just to decide like, oh, we're going to watch it from the people who are being burned alive, just because we're going to give that satisfaction to the viewers and that perspective to be different. Awesome. I applaud you from a cinematic and artistic point. That's great. But it's not what the show has been about. We've never been like, let's take a really hard look at these side characters who they meet along the road. Like, maybe we'll circle back to them and it'll be important for our character development. For the Hound, he's going to rob and mug these people, and then in the season he's going to see their withered bodies, and he's going to have some real emotional reactions to it that we're going to be like, wow, like the Hound does care.
Yeah.
And that was important for the Hound. But in this moment of the city of King's Landing being burned, it has no character development,
right,
other than we watch a bunch of people burn and you're just like, I hate Daenerys now.
Yeah.
But we don't watch Daenerys. We see Jon retreat, and that's big for him because I guess that's his final moment of getting smart, but it's a little too late because now you're going to retreat. Like you should have retreated the second Grey Worm through the spear. Like, you knew in that moment wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
And he tries.
He does.
He can try, but like, it just, and so it's,
that's a perfect, like is such a perfect encapsulation of, I feel like, a person who really is invested in this feeling about what has happened in this season.
Yes.
Well, and also I think about all those, all those episodes where in past seasons, and even some early on in this one, it's like, this is the thing I keep saying, but it's like, there were episodes this season where it's like, I felt totally engaged the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then when it was over, I would go, but I think I could summarize everything that happened in the episode in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas then with some of the episodes, like this last one, it would take me much longer because a bunch of stuff does happen.
Yes.
But I think about all those episodes where it's literally like just Arya and the Hound, like the whole episode is them just kind of like plodding along, and you're seeing their relationship develop and they're dealing with things. And sometimes, yes, there's like a fight or whatever, but it's about all this stuff. And then to have all of that with all of these different characters, there's so much time spent on the show just where it felt like it's just people on the road,
yeah,
just people going from one place to another. And you're with them for that journey to, yeah, see how they interact and what it, you know.
And you're even consciously, as it's going on, you're kind of like, how much longer can we be on the road? Like, you got to get where you're going eventually, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then to suddenly go like, okay, now everyone, it's at the end of the, everybody got to the end at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's this. And it makes it, one, it makes, to me, it feels like the showrunners are just ready to be done with this.
Yeah.
They're like so ready to just go ahead and move on to Star Wars. Because that's the thing they're doing next.
What?
The next thing that, what are the two guys' names?
Dan and Dave.
Is that their names?
Yeah.
The two guys that are on the after thing.
The producers?
The showrunner. It's Weiss and...
Yeah, it's like D.B. Weiss and...
David, something with a B.
Yeah.
Not an expert.
I'm not either, but they call them Dan and Dave.
Okay. So, those guys, they just announced yesterday, the next Star Wars Episode 9 comes out this Christmas.
Oh.
And then there's going to be like a 2-year break. And then the next Star Wars movie, which they've announced when it is, but it's like in 2022 or something, which, good grief. What a sentence to say. They had earlier in the week, they announced, these are the dates, like Disney announced, these are the dates for the upcoming Marvel movies and Disney movies and Star Wars movies. But a bunch of them were untitled Star Wars movie,
okay,
this date,
okay,
untitled Marvel movie,
but
this date.
Just titled, or
no,
untitled? Okay.
But that was earlier in the week, or maybe last week, they announced all the dates. And then yesterday they announced that next Star Wars movie will be by the Game of Thrones guys. Marette's here. that sounds like an ambulance though.
Yeah.
Which I need because you've poisoned me. So I'm glad they got the text I sent. Hey, I've been poisoned. Please get here. Cut all this out. It kind of felt to me like they were just going like, oh, I'm so done with these dragons. Like, let's get out of here.
Which is so sad.
Yeah, to think like you've invested
so much very methodical time.
Maybe that's not accurate. Maybe it's like...
It is too. If you watch any of their app,
it seems like they're just done with it.
Like all of the behind the scenes that they've ever done. And it's David and Dan talking about it. And even the way they get the show is because they thought about it so much, they can tell you after they read the first book, they could have told you who Jon Snow's mother was. That's how they won the right to make Game of Thrones an HBO TV show.
Oh, wow.
They
literally
had to sit down with George R. R. Martin, and they had this whole interview. They wooed him. They wowed him. They probably took him to a really nice dinner. And at the end of it all, he was like, I don't really care anything that you told me, but who's Jon Snow's mother? That was it. And he was like, and if you can tell me and get it right, you can produce this show.
Then I know you get it.
Yeah, so. Then I know you get it. I know I can work with you. You see my vision. And they got it right. And so they had a lot invested in it. And
right.
It is sad to, I think it became so big and for them to have yet. It does feel rushed. It feels unsatisfying. The amount of time you spend... And I think this is to answer your much earlier question. What has been the most disappointing thing is definitely the character development of Daenerys. That is just like, it's not even that it just like dropped off last episode. It's like she comes to Westeros and it's kind of like an impending downhill. You
know, yeah.
You just watch her lose a lot of her. You watch her lose a lot of what makes her a queen, what makes her a Khaleesi, what makes her the person that you wanted to sit on the Iron Throne, regardless of how much you like Jon Snow and how much you like other people that vie for it. I think when you see her, what you see her do in Slaver's Bay and Essos, you're like, this woman cares about people and cares about doing what's right for people. She's going to free the slaves. She doesn't care if it makes her look bad. She doesn't care if the nobles... like retaliate against her.
Do you feel like the her characterization in the season, especially like in these last couple episodes, has been kind of like a cop out just to get them to where they want to go?
Yeah, it has, and it's felt like they looked at it and they were like, we can just like try to make it full circle and bring a bad queen, you know, like some of the biggest things that drove the beginning of the season and the change of. Wow, just totally out there. Didn't drink enough tea. One of the things that drives the beginning of the show is this idea of we beat the Mad King and we retaliate against him and we put someone new on the throne. We have a new dynasty ahead of us. We're not going to follow people just because they instilled fear in us with dragons thousands of years ago. You know,
yeah.
We are going to follow a new man who just won a war, you know?
Yeah.
And so then for them to get her, to follow her and have her struggle with that, understanding her identity as the daughter of a Mad King, and she struggles with it throughout those seasons, and struggles when she comes to Westeros to try to prove that she's not that person, but it is her right to be on the Iron Throne. And then to just watch them kind of burn the city after you see so much, especially through the eyes of Jaime, after you see how terrible that idea is for all of them, for Tyrion, for Jaime, for almost everyone except for Cersei and Daenerys, and even at the end, you can kind of see it with Cersei. You're like, wow, like she did this. She, like, it seems like she recognizes the gravity of she's literally destroying this entire city. And just to watch that happen after you think Daenerys is someone who's going to change the game. She's going to change the game, and then she literally, she changes it all right, but not for the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... It was very disheartening to watch. So, and you're just like, you watch her grow as an individual from someone who's like, she seems weak and kind of feeble, and she falls into these roles of, well, like, I'm just going to get married, and like, I'm kind of like property, and they're just going to sell me off for my brother to like better his chances at the throne. And you watch that completely change in her, where she's like, I'm not going to take crap from anyone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run this place. And then for her, but not only am I going to run it, I'm going to run it for the better. I'm going to free people. And then
everything she's done up until this point seems to contradict what happened.
Yes. It's literally like this. It's antithesis to the character development we witnessed, you know?
It also feels like, I'm sure there are people out there who have had like, because there's so many different ways that people can interact with this show and like relate to different things. It's like, I fully expect that there are people out there who have like some kind of family history with something, like, let's say alcoholism.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that, something that's like a negative thing that's negatively impacted people in their family. And they're going, well, I know that runs in my family, but I'm not going to be that. It's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And I could see them being really insulted by this and seeing like going, oh, Danny's proving that
you can find,
and then to all of a sudden go like, nope, you just got to be what you are. And you're going to go crazy too, because your dad was crazy, and you're going to just be a monster. And it's like, I didn't think about it until we were just talking about it now, but it's like, I could see that being really upsetting to people who are like seeing it through that lens. So just a lot of, I don't know. I should wrap this up, but I do want to, like I said, I do definitely want to talk about it again after we've seen the finale. What are you hoping for from the finale?
Well,
do you have any hopes at this point?
At this point, I don't have any specific, like, this is how I want to see. My genuine hope is I want them to make it better. I want everything.
Please fix this.
In the past five episodes to
matter.
To matter and to mean a little bit more.
To have a point.
Like it has meant, because even with really tragic things that have happened in the show in the past, it comes to mean something. Like and I'm not trying to draw this out because we could talk about this probably for the rest of the evening and then still be able to talk about it. But you watch so many characters like Sansa. She goes through one of the worst character developments ever and one of the worst storylines. But you, in turn, you get to this point and you're like, a lot of that meant something for you. She has a great line at some point in the season, and she looks at someone and they say, I wish that I could take that from you, or I wish you didn't have to have experienced that. And she said, if I didn't, I would still just be a little bird. It's with the Hound. It's her conversation with the Hound, and that was pretty satisfying. Where he's like, you've changed, little bird. And she's like, yeah, but if I didn't go through those things,
I would
still just be a little bird.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yes.
And see, like, and I saw a lot of people be very into that.
Yeah.
But then I also saw people who were like really upset by that.
And upset because...
I mean, basically because it seemed like it was, they were going, the people that were, they were saying like, it's just then it's sort of like justifying, all this like, these terrible things that happened to her. It's like, see, no, it was good for her. It's good that we...
No, I don't. And like, I guess you can make that argument if you want to have the guts to claim that's what they're trying to say. That's at no point are they saying this was good for her, but they're saying like it developed her. Like, you know, like she's not going to take crap from anyone ever again. And you watch her watch her father get decapitated, and you watch her make decisions like, I'm gonna reach out to family and tell them like to side with these people who have imprisoned my father. You know,
yeah.
You just watch her change so much, and not that justifies anything that happened to her. But you also see that she's not a little bird anymore. And I think that's the point. It's not to make it okay what she went through. It's to say like that she's, it's not going to define her. Like the things that she went through aren't going to make her weak.
Yeah.
She's going to overcome them.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I haven't seen that out there. But
well, it's also, it says to me that it's like, you can find any take you want
on
somewhere on the internet. Someone has got a take that's like the exact opposite of however you took it.
Yeah. Which is okay. Cause we're all human.
Exactly.
And everyone's feelings are valid, and that people will surprise you.
Yep.
Which is, I think, the takeaway, right? But I hope
that's going to be the name of this episode. People will surprise you.
I don't know. I hope they make it right somehow. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know what they could do, but you know, they surprise us all the time. Like they have, and disappoint us sometimes. but I have a fantasy league, so I hope I win. Right now, that's also a thing. My brother Allie and Natalia, his fiance, we're all in a fantasy league, like football style, you know,
yeah.
You have to pick a team.
Yeah.
I was losing all season until this past episode, so I guess it was good for me.
I love the idea of like taking like a thing that you like and going, how can I get even more into this?
Yes.
Let me turn it into a thing where I have even more personal stakes mm-hmm. involved in the outcome. Well, all right. I mean, honestly, yeah, we could just keep talking about this and talking about this, and I would love to, but I think this is a good enough place to stop. But are you good to talk about it again after the finale?
I would love to catch up and see if we are still disappointed.
Okay. Or if everything has been magically made better.
Or a little bit better if you go, all right, maybe there was more meaning. I have no idea how that's possible. Probably isn't. I like to be more of an optimist than a pessimist, though.
Yeah.
So let's hope they can do something.
I think that is I think that is a thing common amongst people who listen to this show, as well as the people who make it. Because I mean, I feel like there's something optimistic about caring about things inherently. It's like, if you're a person who has stuff that you care about, you can't help but have hope and just in general, even if it's very squished down some days.
Yeah.
So one, Kendall, thank you so much for being here. I would say, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to
plug?
Yes. Is there anything you want people to check out or? I know that you are, but it doesn't have to be you. It could be something you're just interested in or like, or I can not put you on the spot like this. And
I like the Rec Room.
Okay.
I don't know. I was kind of a joke. I like it. My liking it was not a joke. I was just kind of,
I'll put the link to
the Rec Room.
Rec Room.
We'll be there viewing it.
That's right.
Sunday.
Oh, no, they don't show that at Rec Room.
They don't. We'll be there talking about it afterwards.
Yeah, after everyone has watched it.
After everyone has watched it, we will continue
at home.
Right before they close.
Yeah.
Sunday night. No, I don't have much to plug. Maybe next time. But
okay, you can think about it for next time, now that I sprung it on you.
Okay, thanks for having me or talking to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This has been great.
Yeah.
So this has been fun.
Yes.
Which is also another reason why I like doing this, is like getting to like actually have, well, it also just seems like, oh, this is a whole other conversation. We can talk about this later. Anyway, so yeah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to all of you for listening. Obviously, follow the show at KICTM Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at The Chris Haley. You can find all the show notes, keepclosetome.com, patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. All the stuff you know that you get there, and early episodes, bonus stuff, all that, yada, yada. Thank you so, so much. I hope you guys like this. I know we have not talked about Game of Thrones before, shockingly, but I hope that everyone enjoys this, or maybe it will inspire you to check it out if you haven't already, or to stay very far away from it because of how disappointing it's been in some aspects. But it's still like, it's still been a great journey.
Yeah, it's, still recommend watching it if you haven't. It's really groundbreaking, awesome TV show.
If you can handle all the stuff that might scare someone off, then it's totally, man. And there is some stuff that happens on this show. I feel like we've been really negative about it. Now I want to be like, I want to gas it up a little bit.
Maybe we'll gas it up at the next one.
But it's like, there's definitely some stuff on, there's some stuff on Game of Thrones where I'm just like, I could never have predicted I was going to see that. That was like the craziest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. There's a scene in the first season that I remember just absolutely, at first I was shocked and horrified, and then I could not stop laughing. And, so it's just, it's a wild ride. So I think that's about it. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll just leave you with this.
I never meant to hurt.
I feel like you're also trying to like mirror whatever I do.
I'll lean forward. I'll do this.
Okay. Okay.